Yo, it's your boy Vic Raw. I've been out of the mix, I've been in the cut, and I'm here to say what's up. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Design, where we talk about designers, who they are, how they came up, and what are they currently up to now. Without further ado, we have from Montreal, Benjamin, please, can you introduce yourself and how did you get started with design in the first place?
Hi, well, thank you for having me. So like you said, I'm Benjamin in Montreal in Canada. Actually got started in design before going to university. I had the chance to actually be industrial designers in my family and friends. So I really knew what design was about, but I wasn't that much interested by the industrial design itself. So at first I didn't really seek for like a design career, but at some point I was really interested by computer science. I really liked working on computer science project, but at some point the more I worked on those projects at school, because I had the chance to do a few computer science class, I realized that the part I was more interested about was really the design process to actually create something, like create an app, create a project, and having people to interact with it. Like, this was my favorite part of the project itself. And the more I looked like what kind of jobs would actually give me the ability to work more on this and less on the, you know, back-end coding, which was something I wasn't really that interesting. And really I found out that UX and UI design, I found out like the existence of this maybe when I was 17. And that's when I realized like this is something I want to do. I want to work on projects, being able to, you know, work on the creative process and create something new, bringing together a team of, you know, with engineers and other designers and being able to create some great projects. Well, that was the part I was really interested about, was really the design part where we actually conceived the entire project itself, not much the coding part. So that's how I got into design.
Sheesh. Okay. And so it sounds like, all right, like, you had influence from your family and, you know, can you talk about that a little bit more? You said your family were industrial designers?
Yeah, my father is an industrial designer. So I had the chance to actually be, you know, to have knowledge of what is design, because I found out also when you're like 16, 17, a lot of people just, you know, would not talk about design with my friends. They basically discovered it when I talked about design to them. So a lot of people, they don't, you know, we don't really see that in high school or even before. So I had the chance to actually know what design is. But unfortunately, in Montreal, there were only programs in industrial design and graphic design and interior design. And that's basically it. So I kind of had a hard time choosing where I would go. And I actually found out other schools on a more international level. And that finally brought me to go to study in France for like 5 years.
Wow.
So I studied interaction design in Nantes on the western part of France. And when I discovered the school and start like researching what is interaction design, what fields of design you're working with, and what, you know, that's more, it's of course like it's digital oriented interaction design. So working on different digital projects. And it was really something that I was really interested by. And also, it's funny because this is something like, at first I was really interested by more like web design. The more I discovered the field, finally I decided to go like more in the more of the like arts and technology side of things, and got really interested by working with different new ways of interacting with technology, like robots, like interactive installations. I actually did my master's degree thesis on working with robotics and
Wow.
And people who have Alzheimer's disease. So yeah, really, like, this is a field that I really loved exploring, and I'm still doing right now, since I'm working right now at the Society for Art and Technology in Montreal, which is a space dedicated to digital design and experimenting in digital arts. And I'm working in the lab there, working on some new projects for actually the Society for Art and Technology. So that's really cool.
Man, like, I didn't even know you had all of this background and experience and things such as that. And like, you know, as a side tangent, like, you know, as you were talking about, like, industrial design, I was just thinking, yeah, like how, you know, both industrial and like UI UX design are very, very important. Cause I'm just thinking, like, in my like freezer, so I have like this, like, this ice box type of, like, you know, where the ice dispenses and the ice maker when it's done being made. But I'm just like, whoever designed it deserves an F+, because, man. So like, basically, like, I'm like, all right, why isn't there a button? And I press the button and the ice comes out. Like, there's like a lever. And so like, when you put like the lever up, that means, okay, ice stops making. And then you put the lever down, that means the ice is still being made. But the problem that I have with it is like, this lever is very flimsy, where it's like, if you pull it up too hard, or after a while, like, it can get detangled and it falls on the ground and it's a lot of effort to put back. It's just like, outside of that, you know, you said like you went to France and you studied, you know, interaction design for 5 years. What do you think were your biggest takeaways from your experience, like learning and studying in France?
My biggest takeaways, which is something that's, I'm not sure if it's only in universities here, but the way the system works here, it's like universities, you know, you have like these courses you enrolled in, mm-hmm. and they're like 15 weeks courses, like an entire semester. Yeah. And one of the things that I really liked about going to school there in France was we had like classes that were completely like there was no fixed form in terms of classes. Like, we had some classes that ran for like 3 weeks, 2 hours a week. Then we had another class that was like 4 hours a week for the entire semester. And it was really, so our schedule was really like a complete mess, since like every week was different. It was kind of hard to adapt to it. But the fact is, I think one of the greatest thing that came up from that was that you actually had the classes you needed for the duration you needed. And you could actually learn tons of different things. But the fact is, like, from what I've seen people do and what people have told me before, and I've, like, afterwards, I really agree with what they told me before even going to school in design, is that basically you're basically building your own degree, in the sense that if you're going to school, whether you choose to go to school in design or not, it's really up to you. But whatever you do, even if going to school, I mean, it really becomes interesting once you like decide to actually go beyond the classes you get and try to, you know, experiment with what you learn, do some freelance work on the side. It's always interesting. Also, yeah, like exchange with your teachers. And I think, like, just going to class, like going to class, making a project it's nice, but I don't think it's really, you're kind of like missing the entire great thing of basically learning tons of things and trying to experiment more and go beyond. And that in the school I went to, L'École de Design Nantes Atlantique, the name of the school, we really had like a lot of freedom on that side, where we had like access to the workshops, access to, it was really a design school where I was interaction design, but I had friends who were graphic designers, interior designers, industrial designers. So all these like design profiles combined into one school was really great for that. It was really like, this was my biggest takeaway, which really is like being in a design school itself. It's not only about the classes, it's really about like the environment you're working with. Like we had like a digital work, they call it like the digital workshop, where there were 3D printers and, you know, you could work with electronics. There's someone there who can help you work on your projects. And like I had friends who were not really into digital design themselves, who were more industrial designers, but they went there to get help on working on their project, where they had like this, I don't know, this project where they needed some electronic parts inside. So it was really like a great way to exchange between students too. So it's really interesting if you're enjoying design. And I think if you're going to school in a design school, you're probably enjoying it.
Yeah,
it's really cool to actually go beyond your classes and just, you know, have exchange a lot with others and work on side projects with some of your friends there and stuff like that. So it's really, really cool.
Wow. And so from what I'm getting from it, it's like, it's really like the community that you had, the environment that they were able to create, and then also the relationships where it was like, as you shared, right? Like, of course, like there's fundamentals and there's basics that you learn and you understand from your classes, but it's how do you apply that and what are you taking outside of that to hone in on those skills beyond like the project and beyond the curriculum?
Exactly. Yeah. It's all, I think that's why I say like you kind of build your own degree where if you decide to go beyond your curriculum on, and I don't mean like in every single classes, I mean, of course you don't like, but when you see something very interesting, don't be afraid to like go forward and really dig into this subject, even though it's like, sometimes I only had like one class on the subject, but I decided to dig and look for, and then these like informations you get from the, like these extra informations you get, they might seem like useless at first, but I can guarantee you like at some point, if this is something that you find interesting, you're going to use the, like those knowledge and skills that you got on other projects. And this is how you actually become, you know, I think a unique designer, because we're all designers are unique. We all have our backgrounds. That's basically your show. It's actually a show like the different, you know, the different profiles of designers. And I think this is how you make yourself unique as a designer too.
Okay. Now, like, so let's fast forward a few years, right?
Yes.
So you went to school.
Yeah.
You got your degree. And while in school, like you understand, like, okay, these are the things that you were curious about.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years later, you're now in a position where you're running your own firm with another person. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how did you even start? Where did the idea come from? And, you know, how can you describe how it was building that company up, like, especially in the very early stages?
Yeah. So I started a company called Pico Studio with a friend when I was in France. So in the end of 2019. So we actually completed, he was completing his degree in engineering. Mm-hmm. I was completing in design.
And wow.
We really like clicked in the sense where, you know, we said, well, our skills are really they complete each other in a sense. Like he's a software engineer and I'm a more digital designer. Yeah. So let's build some projects. And we were both really interested by, as I mentioned before, like working on some interactive installations and, you know, interactive environments. What we wanted to do is basically go beyond, you know, just designing and building things for your computer screen or your smartphone, but go beyond and say, well, you know, let's work on interactive installations where we've got Kinects and other sensors around to actually understand where people are and projection mapping and stuff like that. That's what we really liked about, that's what we were really interested about.
Yeah.
And so the early stage was really to actually decide to, we ended up with both ended our degree with, while doing an apprenticeship in different firms. But we, our contract stopped. So we basically said, well, that's the moment we're going to start our company. And that's what we did. Actually, the really interesting part, I think, was being able to look, you kind of have to learn a lot of things about you know, budgeting your projects, much more than when you're like working for someone else, where there's like a project manager who's taking care of that. But also, how do you find, you know, how do you find your own contracts? Like, not contracts, but like your own work. Basically, you're alone. Nobody knows you. You actually exist as a company. So you need to find work. So it was very interesting to actually be in that position to reach out to previous people we've worked with. Also to sometimes, you know, just send emails to other companies. And yeah, I'd say like what really worked out in that, like looking for work questions was really when we found out a few like place, you know, museums or companies were actually looking forward to having a more digital environment in their like museum, or they had this project where we knew like they didn't have like people who were working on the digital part of the project. So they're more like working on they were working on the creating the installations themselves, but once it came to like electronics and, you know, screens and sensors, they always would go to another company for that. So we knew we could contact them. So that's basically how we managed to get our first few projects. But unfortunately, a lot of those projects were put on hold due to COVID. Because we really had like this like field where it's all about having people together. So this was was really hard, but it's a really important experience in the sense where you learn a lot of things as a creating your own company or being a freelancer.
Wow. And, you know, it sounds like essentially like you were able to find someone where you're able to complement one another, as you shared, right? You know, he's more of like the hardware, more of the engineering side. You're more of like the digital and the visual side of things. And combined together, you guys are able to create installations where you have elements of design and you have elements of the physical, you know, with the sensors, with the projectors, with all of those things coming in to make like an immersive, like interactive experience as you're going through the museum.
Exactly, that's what we aimed for when we started our company, and yeah, if unfortunately we had to stop like after a year and a half, but if we went, you know, if we could have had more like of course more jobs now, like I'm not saying it's easy when there's no COVID, but of course when there's COVID around, you kind of it's becoming increasingly harder to actually work on those fields. But yeah, the idea was to actually bring you know, use our two feel like our two skills set together to actually create some great experiences. And that makes, I think, a lot of sense. Even as a freelancer, it's always great to actually have, you know, other contacts, people you know who are, you know, you complete each other's work in a sense, where then that's a great contact to have, because if you have a larger project, you know, you can contact them, do it with them. And yeah, I think it's a great way to actually do some freelance design work too.
Well, what would you say is your favorite and your least favorite part about, you know, working with clients?
I think my favorite part of working with clients is actually that's a great question, because working with clients is it's always like, I think we have a lot of people will have like really great or really bad experience. I never had like a really bad experience. My favorite That's part good. Working with clients is really basically working with like trying to design with them, or you know, like the first meetings we have with them, where they have like these small ideas, and you're kind of bouncing with them like ideas and trying to create, to you know, get to a point where you have a project for them. That's my favorite part. It's basically exchanging with them and learning how their business works and how they are actually their user works too, because it's always interesting for me, and it's super useful when you're designing. And my least favorite part of working with clients is I've never had like really bad experiences with clients, but it's more or less when you're, I'd say it's really when people are not, I'd say they're not interested, sorry, by what you bring to the table, in a sense. It really happened more when I was working for a company, because otherwise they wouldn't have I wouldn't have worked with this client. I think if I had to choose when I can choose my clients, I would never work with that person. Yeah. But the problem was, I was working for a company, we made some like I said, master's degree, I was working in robotics, so we were working on some robotics project for different fields. So we were working with a robot called Pepper, which is and now to like a smaller and larger robot, humanoid robots, so one with like a tablet there. And we were contacted by big companies who wanted to have them on shows and stuff like that. So
it was, oh, wow.
So this was, I'd say that this part was the toughest one, where you actually had clients who say, well, I'm not interested by design. I know what I want, and they just send you like this PowerPoint file with the screens on it, and you're like, and they don't want to actually, and you're kind of stuck. I was kind of stuck because actually they did not want to pay for design, so they just wanted to pay for engineering. So basically, and my manager actually said yes to that project, and I can't blame. I can't blame them, because this, of course, at some point you need to do some projects. But my job was just to basically take their screens they created that were poorly designed and like kind of touch it, like kind of change a few things, but not too much, because they didn't really had time for that. So yeah. It was really like, it's hard to actually be told to by a client or by your manager to actually work on a project that you know is bad or is going to fail, and say, yeah, well, you know what, like, that's it, you just still have to do it. So this is the least interesting experience with clients, I'd say,
man. And it sounded like you as someone that's been through school and had your experience, like, and has an eye, and then you're like, like, I had to put this mediocre thing like into the world, man. Like,
exactly.
It must have hurt.
It really hurts just to be at the point where you're like, I need to work on this bad project, and you're like specifically told not to make it better, actually.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stuck there, and yeah, this is the toughest. I think it's the toughest part, because as designers, like, I think we always have like our users in mind. That's basically the principle behind design itself, is to create things that the user is going to be able to use, enjoy, and you know, it's going to create also values for the company who are, you know, creating them. But it's also working with the user in mind, and that's always tough, because you're basically told, forget about it, just do what we want. And even though you know it's probably gonna fail, in the sense where it's like users are not gonna be interested, and like and you actually might be blamed for it afterwards. So that's really tough. Unfortunately, like, fortunately we didn't have that kind of experience. But yeah, I heard people say, well, they were told to do bad design, and then afterward they were told, well, oh, it's not working. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. I know.
Sheesh. Well, you know, wrapping things up, like, you know, as someone that's had a lot of experience and a lot of, you know, different backgrounds and, you know, just different times where you've been able to try different things and explore. You know, if you were talking to your like 16, 17-year-old self that is, you know, interested but hasn't really like fully immersed themselves in the world of design, like what advice like would you share to yourself that would have like, you know, made your journey much smoother, easier, and faster?
I'd say it's a good question. I'd say maybe it would be to actually like not hesitate to reach out to people. Like this is something that's I think most of designers especially if you're like getting out of school where you're not like you might be working for some clients but you're not like overwhelmed, you might not be like overwhelmed by a lot tons of projects, and I think we're all very open to actually talk with someone who's and explain what we do as designers. And you know, I would say to my 16-year-old self, go reach out to people where you see their design and you're interested. Most of them are going to be really happy to just have a chat with you. And that I think it's very inspiring. And also I would actually I think what would have also helped me a lot would be to actually do some research of the different fields of design. Like I said, like I knew more than industrial design side. I have zero knowledge on like for me especially since well like when I was 16, a lot of the UX UI designers were people who went from graphic design and then kind of shifted towards because there were not any programs in school to actually learn what's UX UI design and what's digital design in general, but they exist at some point. So I discovered them, but for me it wasn't even something that was remotely like that was in my mind to say, well, this is something that people can do. For me it was just like, oh, we'll just it's I didn't know there were designers working on that those projects. So I'd say also like look at the projects you like and the things you like in life. I'd say like you for example, there's if you're very interested by by interior design, like look up who makes the design you're interested by, find out what's their path in life, and try to also understand like try to see where you can get to that point yourself. So yeah, it's a bit just really like tips I would give myself, I think.
For sure, man. But Benjamin, it's been a pleasure, like, you know, understanding like where you've come from, like your journey, and also the fact like it seems like you're inspired, but you have inspiration every day, like through your family and like your extended network of you continuously reaching out and you always just being curious and understanding what you're curious about and having the courage to like fully do that. It just seems like, you know, you still have a long way to go in this field, and we're
Thank you.
excited to see where you'll go.
Thank you very much.